Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. And welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Will, and I have the great joy and privilege of serving on our pastoral team as the pastor of spiritual formation. And if you are worshiping with us for the first time, or even if you call this place your spiritual home and you've been a member for decades, we would love to know that you are worshiping with us. You can mark your attendance in the pew pad if you're here in the sanctuary, or you can follow the link online to let us know that you are worshiping with us, either in person or virtually. I do want to share with you all a number of ways that you can get involved and invested in the life of our community. We're celebrating that Chat and Chew is resuming this semester. Right after worship, Pastor Amy Baxter is going to lead all local Nashville University students to go to lunch and to have meaningful conversations and connection. So you can find Pastor Amy right after this worship service in the narthex. I also want to invite you back this afternoon at 4:30 here in the sanctuary. We have the opportunity to hear Amanda Moll lead us in an organ recital. Her gifts will be a blessing to this community and to the larger city, and we look really forward to the ways that God will tune our hearts in thanksgiving through her gifts. If you are a part of this community and you find yourself curious about what it means to become a member, if you're finding that this place is a spiritual home that is nourishing your life, or you know someone who's not here today but is sensing that movement of God in their life, I want to invite you to come next week during the Sunday school hour to our one-day membership class. That will be in the Fourth Story Theater and led by our pastor of Congregational Connection, Reverend Shannon Baxter. And we invite you, if you are curious, to register online, or if you have questions, just to email Shannon. Finally, next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, again in the Fourth Story Theater, we have the joy of hosting a holy conversation through the organization Mainstream United Methodist. We're looking forward to the ways that Mainstream will help orient us to what is happening at General Conference in Charlotte this May. You might remember, if you follow the United Methodist news, that this was the conference that was scheduled for May of 2020, but it's been rescheduled multiple times. And so we look forward that during this time, we might be better educated about what the proposals actually are before the General Conference, so that we might be better advocates, and so that we might better form a community that is informed and advocating for how we wish to see God's kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, might this day God tune our hearts to worship, that truly we might fall more deeply in love of God and neighbor.
Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near.
We come to
follow you. O God, today may we heed those words and offer ourselves to you. As we worship, may we be empowered to live and speak your words, come and follow. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Creator God, you have designed in us in this world to be beacons of the love you shine on us daily. With an eye toward revealing a never-ending grace, you have made all things. Yet, forget who we are and focus on our wants before the needs of those with whom you have surrounded us. Forgive us when we forget to be wayfinders of your grace for others. Change our hearts today through the power of your Holy Spirit, so that our lives will be conduits of your grace, a grace that calls to us, come and follow. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to invite any of our kiddos who want to come forward for our children's moment and join Pastor Carol, Pastor Amy, and I. There's more than enough room up here. We've got space. Hey, Grace, what's up? Nice. Very good. Come and sit with us. Wonderful. We're glad you're here on this rainy day. We're thankful that you are worshiping with us. You got to see a glimpse of maybe you can join in that choir, the youth choir, and sing so beautifully. All right, so I am going to ask you all to maybe stretch your memory, okay? Can you remember your first day of class this year? It's like way back in August, or maybe you switched schools and it's January that you're in a new class. But can you remember your first day of class?
Yes.
Yeah, you can, Martha? It was in the fall. So what kind of stuff did you do on your first day of class?
It was just a half day.
We talked about this morning. It was just a half day, both for the blessings of the students and the teachers. It was a half day because that first day of class, if we remember, that's a day where we get to know our teacher and we get to know our classmates, and our teacher shows us around the classroom. Is that what your teacher did, Martha? She showed you around the classroom? And they talk to you maybe about the schedule of what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. And then your teacher tells you sort of like what kindergarten's all about. Yeah. Penny, what's up?
It's kind of like school.
It's kind of like school. That's right. Your teacher tells you what school is going to look like and what you're going to experience. And today, y'all, is the first day of class for the disciples. They've just begun following Jesus. And they're seeing what Jesus is all about, and he's showing them what they're going to do. And the work that Jesus called them to, the work that Jesus is calling us to, is the work of healing, and the work of renewal, and the work of liberating. And I want you to hear with great clarity today that it doesn't matter how young you are, if you're in preschool or if you're in elementary school, Jesus has given you gifts to be a healer. And so maybe when you see a friend who's really sad, you can just be with them and ask, how can I help, or can I just be with you? Or you see friends who are struggling to share in your class, maybe you can be the one who shares. Or in March, when we celebrate Great Day of Service as a church, maybe that could be a time when you can join us in being a person of healing in our city. Does that sound great? Awesome. So the big thing about a first day of class, if you remember, is you're really tired after a first day of class. And so I pray that after Jesus teaches us what it means to be his disciples, that maybe you get an afternoon nap this afternoon, and parents would be excited too. All right, let us pray together. Good and gracious God, what a gift. What a gift that Jesus, who teaches with great authority and power, yet teaches with simplicity, that we must become like children to hear and understand him. I pray, God, for these children that you have blessed with tremendous gifts. Might they be agents of healing and renewal and life in this world. All of this we ask by your grace and your spirit and through the prayers of Jesus. Amen. All right, y'all, I'm going to invite you, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can join Pastor Shannon and Pastor Maggie and go to Children's Church. Have fun. And I just want to commend our youth choir, how beautifully you have led us in worship. You've actually already preached the sermon, and so whatever I have to offer is just an amen and an alleluia to the way that you have already led us in worship. Thank you. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, I pray that your fresh voice would speak through me and that you would open up all of our lives to receive it, that truly we might grow into the likeness of Jesus and be agents of healing and renewal in this world. All this we ask by his name. Amen. So a new student or a new employee calls it different names, names like syllabus day or class orientation or onboarding. Regardless of what you call it, if you're a student or an employee, it's kind of the same experience. If you're a student, it looks like your professor getting the syllabus out and reading through the syllabus line by line to set the course of what you should expect in the course and to sort of let you know the expectations, right? If you have never been in a job and you're a student, I just want you to know that your first day of a job is kind of similar. You typically meet with an HR representative or someone that's doing that work within an organization, and they walk you through your job description, and they tell you how to do payroll, and you fill out a bunch of forms, and you talk about the expectations of the work that you're going to do. And I don't think that I'm the only person that, whether it be a syllabus day in a university or a first day of work, often finds myself on those days sort of looking around the room and wondering, do I really want to subject myself to a season of this with these people? Like, with these people? Anybody else been there? It helps in our imagination to see this moment we heard read as a syllabus day or an onboarding for the disciples. And if we're to read the Gospels as a field manual for how we're to live the mission of God, there are onboarding too. This is our moment of Jesus laying out the syllabus of his course. We heard last week Pastor Carroll preaching from John's Gospel. We're going to stick mainly in Mark's Gospel going forward, but we heard last week about the calling of the first four apostles and how immediate that moment was when they followed Jesus. There's even more immediacy in Mark's Gospel. It's going to be sort of like a key word over the course of the Gospel, immediately, immediately. And we learned that the immediacy of the disciples following Jesus is such that James and John leave their dad in the boat with hired hands. I can't help but hear that and remember that scene in Forrest Gump where Forrest Gump just jumps out of the shrimp boat and it crashes right into the docks. Mark is saying that the immediacy of James and John following Jesus was such that they left the family business in the hands of the wage workers to follow Jesus. And in their onboarding moment, it's not happening in a HR room or in a university classroom and lecture hall. It is happening in their hometown synagogue with the people who watched them grow up, who nurtured them in the faith, and who taught them the songs and liturgies of their faith. And it's happening not just with those who are familiar, it's happening also in the presence of a man who, if they were honest, I would imagine the disciples would say, we did everything in our power to avoid someone like him in a previous life, someone who is possessed by an unclean spirit. This is the disciples' first glimpse into their future with Jesus. And in this first glimpse, we witness Jesus laying out the syllabus for his course of healing, liberation, and it evokes amazement for those who witness it. Indeed, the gospel writer says that awe and amazement were the reactions of the crowd, both to Jesus' teaching and his healing. And particularly, they exclaim with amazement that Jesus is one who teaches with authority. I'm sure that that word authority conjures up all sorts of feels in you. I know it does in me. Maybe you're the type of person where you're naturally drawn to authority. You like the clarity it provides of naming what's in bounds and out of bounds or what it looks like to live a meaningful and beautiful life. Or you could be the complete opposite. And your whole life, you have been seeking to avoid or resist authority because you are going to wander into your own way and you don't need any external voices or powers telling you what that way will be. And maybe even you have experienced abuse from those in authority where a power outside of yourself diminished your identity or robbed you of your agency. And so that word is triggering to you. Regardless of where we are on that spectrum of amazed by authority or anti-authority, poll after poll of our cultural moment right now reveals that wherever we are on that spectrum, almost all of us are really wondering what authorities we can trust. Can we trust the authority and power of local, state, national government? Can we trust the large institutions and our sources of news and information? Can we trust supposed experts in their field? Can we trust, after all of the revelations of abuse and maybe our own personal trauma, the authority of the church? I want us to spend a few moments maybe even wrestling through some of our discomfort with this word. Because I do think that there's this beautiful elucidation that happens when we allow God to speak a fresh word in a word that maybe is old and tired. New Testament scholar Joel Marcus defines this word authority within its context as the ability to perform an action without anything to hinder that action. The ability to perform an action without there being anything to hinder the performance of that action. Again, interpreting it within the context of Mark's gospel. And so we can hear Jesus in this moment with this redefinition of authority. We can hear and witness Jesus teaching with such authority that he is unhindered by the expectations of the moment. Later, as Jesus goes to Jerusalem, we will see he is not afraid to speak truth to power, even the almighty power of the empire of Rome. Likewise, Jesus is not hindered by the power of the most far-fetched evil that is beyond even our imagining. Jesus has authority. And Joel Marcus goes on to say that in the literature of that time, that indeed this word authority was often used as a word of anticipation for the day when God would return on earth and decisively bring about peace and justice across all of the earth. It's a word that the apostles use later to describe Jesus calming the seas with authority, and the seas were often understood in the Holy Scriptures as this interpretation of chaos or things that disorder us from life. And so then, if this is how we are to imagine authority, it allows us to see this passage a little differently. That in this moment where Jesus is teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum, he is not seeking to undo or cast aside those teachings of his faith. Not trying to undermine the teaching of those religious leaders in that local community. Indeed, I would say that some of the greatest hurts of Christian history have been caused when we divorce Jesus from his Jewish faith and we dismiss Judaism as just an old teaching. This newness that the crowds are recognizing in Jesus' teaching, it's the fulfillment of a promise that Israel's prophets have lifted up. Remember Isaiah saying in Advent, we heard him say, God is doing a new thing. Can you not see it? And so in this moment, the crowds are saying, hey, we're not just reading about it in a story. It's happening right here. God is sweeping us up in this love that brings about renewal and liberation and life with decisive authority. And the gospel in that for us today is that amidst all of our wondering what authority we can trust, Jesus is the authority that we can trust with our whole lives without fear of condemnation. Because whenever Jesus uses his authority in the Gospels, it's always to empower and not overpower. It's always to break down barriers that divide us, not build them up. It's always to liberate and not dominate. Indeed, what Jesus makes black and white, this is the only thing that Jesus makes black and white on this orientation day, is that he will stop at nothing to use his authority in such a way that no thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. We'll see this across the course of the gospel, that Jesus will stop at nothing to use his authority to break down any barrier, clean and unclean, inside or outside, or sinner righteous. He will break down every barrier by the power of his authority so that there should be nothing to separate us from loving each other, if we respond in grace to his invitation. And the most wonderful thing of all of this is that Jesus doesn't hoard his authority to himself. He releases it and he trusts it to his apostles. He trusts it to you. Later, just a few chapters in Mark's gospel, Jesus will send out his apostles into the Galilee region with the authority to heal. After his resurrection, we learn in the other gospels that he will send his apostles to the ends of the earth, to every nook and cranny of the known world, with the authority to heal. Every time we celebrate a baptism, we claim that power that God is trusting to us. We name that God is empowering us with the freedom to resist evil, oppression, and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves. In fact, in many Christian traditions, after a child is baptized, they're anointed with oil, which is a sign of healing, to say your vocation is to be a healer in all of creation. In fact, it's almost as if whenever we celebrate a baptism, it's a group empowerment exercise where we're saying to each other and reminding each other, God has given us power and authority to be healers. And yet, I have to just say that in my own walk with God, in my own life, in humility, I have to share this, that I have found that my knee-jerk reaction is most often to resist the authority God is giving me to heal. It's a lot easier to blame those who have authority. I'm dating myself here, but one of my favorite songs in high school, John Mayer's Waiting on the World to Change. Anybody else? Love that song. Blaming those in authority and saying, until something's fixed, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to care. I'm not going to be a participant. I find it's a lot easier to believe the lies that shame tell us, that we can't change, that we don't have the power to change the reality of our everyday life. And I really appreciate how the Lutheran pastor, Nadia Bolz-Weber, she shares about her own experience of living with addiction and living for a pronounced season of her life with debilitating depression. And she names how going back to baptism really empowered her to walk in faith, even when all she could see is darkness. She names that baptism is as radical as exorcism, and that in baptism we are clothed with the power of the one who demons fear. And so claim that power. Claim it within your own personal life. And y'all, I get it. That language of demons and exorcisms, that's pretty extreme. I've not yet been called into that moment of ministry yet. You never know. And yet, I have experienced in my life, and I've experienced so much in ministry, how we find ourselves living under the power and dominion of something or someone that leads us to self-harm or to harm others. That could be that addiction that you keep making the resolution every year to change, but you just can't shake it. That could be a relationship that is really grounded in domination and abuse, and you can't imagine a different life. It could just be that you're in such great financial debt that you don't have an imagination for what it means to be free from that debt and to live abundantly. And I want to name that wherever you are in that place, that the waters of our baptism are like an ever-constant spring of agency and renewal and empowerment. And even if you are not baptized, we sing it in our opening hymn that God's mercy and care is over all of God's creation. And so any stirring that you feel in your heart today to live differently is the work of God in your life. And that God is empowering you to live differently and to change your circumstances, to claim that power God has given you by taking that first step towards sobriety or asking for help and naming you need a community or a 12-step program. That maybe you are called to live in the humility of asking others to help you with their resources in this season and to begin to dream what it looks like to live a life of financial freedom, free of debt. and including but beyond our own personal and communal healing and liberation, God is calling us today to claim our authority to be healers in our city and in our world. The early Christians took this authority and they ran with it, y'all. They might have been a minority group in a vast empire, and in many cases, not very powerful people. But they took this authority that God gave them in Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and they created the first hospitals and created the first networks of financial relief for the poor and formed homes and families for orphans because they believed that they were an empowered people. How might we dream in the same way in our city? Amidst all of the health and wealth and housing gaps, how might we partner with the good work God is already doing with Christians here in the city and people who are not of faith, but we're aligned in this mission of healing and liberation? How might we share our resources and our space with our city to be a blessing to our neighbors? How might we just go with Jesus and receive whoever he calls us to receive? To experience the life of a stranger becoming a friend. Because here's the thing. When you follow Jesus, you don't get an ordinary onboarding. Jesus leads you right into the decisive action of God's grace. For truly, Jesus is trusting and empowering us as a community to heal the hell out of creation until all of heaven breaks loose in every nook and cranny of the earth. Amen.
We respond in faith to the good news that has been proclaimed in our midst. And we do that together with one voice as we affirm our faith each week. I invite you to stand as you're able if you're here in the sanctuary or if you're joining us from home. And let us join our voices together in our affirmation of faith, printed in your bulletin or on the screen. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. One of the ways that we participate in the healing work that God is doing in our world is through our prayers. We pray with and for one another and for our world. I would invite you, if you are here in the sanctuary and you have prayer concerns or joys that you would like to share, to use one of the gray prayer cards in the pew racks in front of you to fill that out and place it in the offering plate as it goes by. Be sure and let us know if you want that prayer request to remain confidential or be published in the bulletin. Your pastoral staff meets every Monday at 1:30 and prays for each of these concerns by name. We invite your prayers if you're joining us over live stream as well. You can go to our website under Contact Us and let us know your prayer concerns through that venue. And everyone can do that every day of the week. And we will gather those together on Mondays. Please take a look at the prayer requests that are printed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your hearts throughout the week. But now let us gather our hearts together in this time of prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, the image is vivid before us this morning of Jesus walking into the synagogue on an ordinary day of worship and setting a man free who was bound. We have called him the great physician, healer of our every ill. And so we bring before you now in this time of prayer the prayers that we carry with us for healing and liberation in our lives, in our circles of friendship and family, in our community and in our world. We pray this day for all who are sick in body, mind, and spirit. We think even now about all of those people who are in the hospitals that surround this church. May our prayers in this moment convey your love and your grace and power. May each one feel your presence. We pray for all of those who are undergoing chemotherapy or long-term treatments. We pray for patience and strength and courage and healing. We pray for all those who are preparing for surgeries or recovering from them, that your healing power will be at work in their bodies, minds, and spirits. And we pray for those who deal with chronic pain, for which at this moment perhaps there is no cure. We would ask that you would grant them your healing power and peace, and for all who walk with them. We pray for those who struggle with anxiety, depression, or other mental illness, for those who feel broken in spirit, who feel alone and unworthy of love. We pray for all who grieve and for all who are walking through the pain of broken relationships. We trust in your power of reconciliation and wholeness. We pray, O God, for the healing of our world, for the places where war and violence cause people to live in fear. We pray for people anywhere who suffer injustice and discrimination in their everyday lives. We pray, O God, for the healing of our planet, which has been damaged and torn in so many ways. We thank you even now in this moment for the healers in our midst, for all who work for the healing of body, mind, spirit, and planet. We thank you for the nurses, doctors, technicians, therapists, counselors, caregivers, farmers and tenders of the soil. And, O God, we ask that you would use us in whatever ways you choose to bring about the healing that is possible in our lives and in our world. For as you called those first apostles, you call us today. And so as we prepare to go about this work, we go in the name and the power of the great physician, Jesus the Christ, and in his name we pray the prayer that he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We participate in the healing work of God through our gifts this day. And as our ushers come forward, those of us in the sanctuary can place our gifts in the offering plates as they go by. And if you're worshiping with us online, you can follow the ways to give that are up on the screen. May we give with glad and generous hearts to the God who has been so generous to us. Thank you. Everyone to return to your seats, unless you are one of our elected leaders in the congregation for 2024. If you are serving on any of our committees, whether it's hospitality, building and grounds, mercy and justice, staff parish, finance, annual conference delegates, if you are in a position of one of these leadership roles, I invite you to stand where you are. We had a good group at 8:45. Many of us gathered yesterday for our annual leadership retreat, where we spent time in prayer and conversation and getting to know one another and looking ahead to the year that is before us. And these are some of the folks who've been called to bear responsibility and to lead on our behalf this year. So I want you to take a look at them, to know that they are here for you. They represent you and all of us in the work that God calls us to do. And in just a moment, we're going to pray together for them. In my Monday meditation tomorrow, there will be a document that has all their names, and so you can put that on your refrigerator and pray for them by name throughout this year. We have a great group of leaders. We have so much to be thankful for here at West End, so many ways that God can use us. So we want to be in prayer for these leaders as they guide us and listen for the Spirit's guidance. Will you join me now in this time of prayer? Gracious God, those who stand in our midst in this moment are those who have said yes to serving you in a particular way in this congregation and through this congregation. We ask that you would bless them, that you would work through the gifts that you have given them to lead us forward as your people. We pray that through their leadership and your guidance, we might shine the loving light of Christ ever more brightly in this city and beyond. Stretch us, O God. Take us to places we could never imagine without the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. And along the way, help these leaders and all of us stay close to you through our prayers. Keep our hearts open and our arms wide open to this community as you lead us forward. Thank you for their willingness to say yes. And thank you for reminding us that through our baptism, we are all called into ministry. In Christ's name we pray together. Amen. And now I invite all of us to stand as we sing this hymn that recommits each of us to be ministers in this world.
that we answer that call of Jesus in our lives and go forth into the world this day to claim the authority God has given us to be healers and liberators in all creation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen.